You'll see down here at the bottom, discount code SESSIONS30, discount code. Again, it's only good after each session, 24 hours, then it expires. So make sure you guys are hitting that website and taking advantage of the code. We're nearing the end of the month, and as we promised, we'll be giving away a $1,000 shopping spree to the lucky winner. Again, to qualify for that, throughout the cult sessions, you have had to download at least one song from three different artists. Screenshot that, send it to us, and have used the discount code to purchase anything. So make sure you guys are doing that. Today's artist, we have Blue Diamond, an amazing DJ, artist, musician, just kind of a little bit of everything. So we have her on. We also have Sue Surf, which is a great friend of the family, an amazing artist as well. And personal friend of mine, Sendog from Cypress Hill. So we're looking forward to a great show. Glad you guys are tuning in for us. Keep flashing those double X's as we're going through. Flash double X, double X, double X, double X. Remember, if we hit 1,000 people in the room tonight, the person who flashed more double X's than anybody else is going to win the denim jacket from us. So keep flashing those double X's. And let's get Blue Diamond in here right now. See, she's in here. Let me get her in here. What's up? How are you?
What's going on, my love? How you feeling?
Let me turn my volume up a little bit. I think I had it all the way down earlier. How you doing? Damn, you're looking.
Hey guys, what's going on?
You're looking
on,
great,
Danny?
As usual.
Thank you. I got, you know, I took a shower today. You know, I did my makeup and all that.
So, yo, listen, I want to shout out to Lady Luck because she's the one who introduced us. And
yes, big shout out to Lady Luck.
She's phenomenal and a great friend, and you're phenomenal as well, too. So I appreciate you coming in here today. And
thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. For everybody who didn't know, we've been doing these digital sessions here at actually the office. And Blue came down here one night and was spinning the tracks in between the music and the bands that we had coming in. So friend of the family. It's good to get some females in here because, you know, no offense, but I'm tired of looking at the dudes while we're talking. So I'd rather be looking, you know, looking at you. No offense to all the other guys we got coming into the sessions.
And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We got to put on for the female DJs.
So we almost didn't have you on here, right? Because you had some issues with Instagram.
Listen, I have no idea what happened. They threw me out of Instagram after I uploaded a live. And I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, the whole copyright situation, or I don't know what, but they threw me out of here. I'm glad I got my page back, but I was scared for a little bit.
Well, you are. I wasn't sure. I mean, you definitely have some provocative pictures up on your page.
You think so? I try to take them down.
Listen, I'm not complaining. I love it. So, you know, don't get me wrong. But let me ask you this, because before this whole quarantine, I kind of saw you traveling. I was jealous because you were hitting a lot of some amazing places. And I'm like, damn, how are you keeping so fit during this quarantine?
You know what's crazy? I'm just lucky to have a very fast metabolism because I actually do not work out. And every now and then when I look like a little bloated, I'm not even going to lie. I got paid one time from Flat Tummy Tea, but that shit actually works.
Really?
Yeah, it really works. So I Flat Tummy Tea it out, you know, and then I just go to the bathroom, baby.
I know you're working on music right now. You have Lil Ho is your latest song. Talk to everybody about it. Let everybody know what's going on with that.
So Lil Ho was a real story. You know, it was, I don't know. I just be talking about, you know, girls who are trifling and all of that good stuff. I think, you know, I try to write music that people can relate to. And I think, you know, everybody has had a trifling friend. So that's what Lil Ho is about. And yeah, guys, go listen to Lil Ho.
Yeah, yeah, everyone check that out. It's on Spotify and Apple Music.
Everywhere.
So, you know, how are you using this time creatively as we're sitting here, all of us, during this COVID? I try not to get negative with the COVID virus. I try to be inspiring. So as an artist, as a musician, because we're locked in these confines, how are you getting creative and working on your craft? I know you're doing your own shows. And talk a little bit about that as well. Let everybody know what you're doing.
Well, thank you for that. I have a new radio show. It's on Station Head every Friday night at 8. What I try to do is, like you said, you know, everybody's on lockdown. And something that I always try to do is put on the people who don't have a voice and use my platform to, you know, give a voice to those people who, you know, can't be seen and aren't heard like that. So now that I do have a platform that's mine, and you know, I every Friday I have five upcoming artists that I believe are hot. So, you know, anybody who wants to send me submissions, submit to Diamond District Radio. That is at Diamond District Radio. And I'll be listening to your music, and hopefully I can, you know, put somebody on next week from here.
I think you need to definitely afterwards make sure you post that in the comments. Because sometimes people hear it and you're like, yeah. What did she say? So definitely post it down in the comments
for sure.
Afterwards. So, you know, how does fashion for you kind of correlate to what's going on in the music scene and what you're doing? I mean, it's talk to me a little bit about that. You know,
unfortunate because, you know, I believe that your craft should be able to speak for who you are, but we live in an era where people judge you by how you look rather than, you know, what you can show. So your appearance is everything, and the way you look and how people look at you the first time is, you know, how people are going to look at you for a long time. So I always try to look up to par. I always try to, you know, recreate myself, have different looks and stuff like that. So I think fashion to me is very important in my career, and I think it plays a very important role in being in who Blue Diamond is.
We used to do some amazing, amazing women's product, and my wife, much to my chagrin, because I got to hear about it all the time, is like, where's the women's product? But we started to find that we had a lot of women rocking guys' clothes.
Yes.
You know, pulling out the, you know, the jeans and the sweatshirts and the things like that. Have you ever, you know, driven your fashion sense from anything from what, you know, these guys?
Are I, Listen, part of being a DJ, my favorite part is that I can really kind of wear anything. And, you know, having your own sense of style, you add, you know, whatever you want to remix it with. But I love not having to wear heels all the time. I love that I can wear sneakers and, you know, dress it up, make it cute. Actually, when I DJed for you, you guys had me wear a t-shirt.
Yes, exactly.
I had a cult t-shirt on, and it was a kind of like, you know, guys wear with boyfriend jeans. A pair of, they were women's, but boyfriend jeans. I like, you know, you kind of, and I wore them with a pair of heels, actually. So it is how you make
it. Look hot. It looked, listen, I think it's style is about how you pull it all together. And for me personally, I find a woman very, very sexy when she's wearing a baseball hat. Or a bandana or something real casual and can kind of pull it off. We had the artist Natty rocking. I'm going to pull this out here.
Let me see. Let me see what's going on over there.
I got, she was rocking this nylon pant in one of her videos. So we've been blessed to have a lot of these females kind of come in and say, you know, put me in that stuff that you're doing for the men's. And it's been working out. It's been working out cool. You touched on something I want to ask you about. You know, how is it, you know, being a DJ, a female DJ, and what are some of these obstacles you've had to kind of overcome, you know, doing this, and, you know, how do you see your craft and what you're doing kind of evolving as you're moving forward?
Being a female DJ specifically from New York City, I think just a female DJ period, trying to prove yourself in a male-dominated industry period is very difficult. So you got to come correct. Especially being out of New York City, they don't want to just see you press buttons. At first, you know, that's what they were calling me. You're a push button DJ. So then I'm like, shit, I got to learn how to scratch. So that's what I did. I learned how to scratch a little bit. So now I could, you know, incorporate that in my videos. I had to learn how to blend. I had to just learn major DJ skills, actual skills to be able to prove myself to males because, you know, I don't want to be out here be called a fake DJ or whatever. So that's that. And moving forward, I just want to continue to put out music and follow in other major DJs' footsteps.
So if when things open up, if God willing, there's tours and things that are starting to happen. Who would you like to be able to go on tour with if you could pick? Maybe two artists and say, wow, I would love to travel and tour and be a part of this project. Who would you pick?
I think I want to say Meg Thee Stallion, definitely. She looks like a lot of fun. And I probably want to see what Little Baby's lifestyle is like for a day or two, you know? So them two, I would say. I don't know, Ron, you taking me on tour with you or something?
Well, listen, we actually, there's always, in the world of cult, there's a lot of things that we're working on always. So, you know, stay tuned. This digital session thing that we're doing right now is a prelude to something else that's coming. I mean, I think all of us as artists, the one thing we need to do is be able to be fluid, is a great word, and evolve and move with the things because things are constantly changing.
Absolutely.
And for us with cult, what we're doing with the fashion, what we're doing with the music, it's a constant fluidity. And we're blessed, again, with all the different genres of music and all different artists we're partners with. So we actually have some things in the works. There were certain things that were in the works before COVID. Those things have been pushed to the side, but it's forced us kind of think outside the box. So we do have some things. So trust me, your name has actually come up in conversations.
Well, congratulations, and I wish you luck in all your new endeavors. Is that the right word?
Endeavors, definitely. I see you posted something too early. I was watching your live feed about setting up as a business and talking to people about, you know, helping them. Talk a little bit about that as well, because I saw that.
Well, I just, you know, part of this whole COVID situation, I see a lot of people, especially in my community I come from, you know, a lot of DJs don't claim taxes. We get paid cash. A lot of bartenders, a lot of busboys. I come from a community where, you know, we don't do the whole tax situation, or a lot of people don't know a lot about the whole paperwork situation. So I think during this time, a lot of people, you know, are suffering the fact that they can't get that Donald Trump check. And, you know, we're like, shit, we don't know when the clubs are going to open again. And, you know, a lot of people are looking to start new businesses and stuff like that. So I put it out there for people who don't know a lot of information. A lot of youth people, I feel like, you know, we're in an age where we should be starting our own businesses, and we, you know, we should be working for ourselves. We shouldn't be working for other people for the rest of our lives. So a lot of people use LegalZoom. LegalZoom is one website. And Inkfile was the one that I found that was cheap, and it had all the same things that LegalZoom had. And it came in within a week. I got all my paperwork, all my certificates. I can hire people now. I have my tax ID number, so I can buy things wholesale and things of that sort. So, you know, anybody who's looking to open a lash line, a makeup line, anything you want to do, you have to, you know, incorporate yourself, open an LLC. If you want to be a model, anything it is that you do, you have to make sure that your paperwork is in order. So I encourage everybody to look into that, do your research and whatever it is, whatever field it is that you're looking to expand in. And yeah.
That's great. I was watching, and I think one positive thing that's come from this entire COVID thing, you know what? I'm never using COVID again, the word. COVID is banned from my fucking, from our plight, from our situation, is that everybody is going public and sharing information and communicating. So when I came across that the other day, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I want, you know, I wanted people to hear about that too, because you're sharing that information. So everybody, make sure you're checking out Blue Diamond's page. There's definitely a wealth of knowledge there for you. She's a very interesting person.
Thank you.
As an artist, as a person, you know, in your circle of friends, I always say people associate us or look at us upon our friends that we keep. And you've got some amazing friends. And again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, for coming into the Cult family and being part of what we're doing. And we're all in this together. And we might be doing some things moving forward together. So
let's get it. Thank you again for having me, Ron. And I hope to continue to work with you guys. All right.
Thank you so much. Keep looking phenomenal. You look stellar. So keep it up. Whatever it is, you say you're not doing anything, but I find it hard to believe you look that good without doing anything. So stop it. Don't lie.
A lot of skincare and a lot of water, and mind your business.
And mind your business. Be sure at the end when we hang up, please go back into the comments section.
I'll put it in.
And put your stuff in there so people go and check it out. Everybody, make sure you're following Blue Diamond. Make sure you go download her song. I told you, on Spotify and Apple Music. It's basically every platform. Check her out. She's great. Love you. Thank you so much for coming through.
Love you too, baby. Thank you for having me. Bye, guys.
Bye. Get you in here live. That was Blue Diamond, everybody. Be sure to check her out. She really is. She's a phenomenal artist, phenomenal person. What she's going through from where she is now to where she was before to where she is now is a story. You can learn more about that talking to her. And she's part of the Cult family, and we're happy that she's part of it. So, I just saw a text. I told everybody, don't text me while I'm in the show. And I see Wid, you're texting me, and she's hot. Yeah, Wid, she's hot. Yeah, duh. Yeah, she's hot. So, Sue, let me get you in here. Sue, sir, let me get you, brother. Send me a chat request, because I can't pull people in. I'm fucking off. I said I wasn't going to curse on these things anymore. I'm trying to keep it clean and a little more professional. But while I'm waiting for Sue, sir, to send me a chat request, I'm going to do another shot with you guys, my makers. I'm not seeing a whole lot of double X's in there. Can we get some double X's flash in there? Again, double X's, get you a chance to win a jacket. And make sure you guys are using the code, and make sure you're downloading a song from the artist. You got an entire month. There's a lot of different artists that are on with us. So you're going to download 3 songs from the artists that we've had this entire month to be eligible to win a $1,000 shopping spree, which we'll be giving away after Memorial Day weekend. So flash the double X's. Let's do a shot. Let me see. Sue, I know you're in here, man. You got to send me a request. Or somebody's going to have to try to help me figure out how to get you in here, dude. I don't know, man. It's hard. Oh, wait. I think he just did it. There we go. I got to finish. I just sipped that shit. Yo.
Ron, what's up, big bro?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I can't complain. I'm working, you know.
Say, let me turn. I got your music playing too loud. My wife controls all this shit in the background. Yeah. So sometimes it's too loud. Job is job. You got to do your job right. Or I'm going to get beat up for that shit afterwards.
Drinking over there.
I'm going to fucking get beat up. I'm going to finish my shot. Hold on a second.
What's that?
I'm doing makers, man. Everybody gets me doing shots during these shows, so I'm doing makers.
So
listen, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
You've been where you at right now?
I'm in Jersey.
You're in Jersey? All right. So, dude, I've been driving in the city now for like a month and a half doing these sessions, and every day I drive in, my commute's getting 25 minutes, 40 minutes, now over an hour. Everything's, yeah. People are starting to get a little itchy with what's going on right now with this whole thing.
It's out of control. It's out of control for me. I mean, it's something different, my generation. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen nothing like this in my life. So it's definitely a little crazy. It's interesting to see how, like, the world taken to it, but it's new. It's crazy. It's real crazy, honestly. You never expect nothing like this.
No. So let me kind of make sure, because our audience is such a diverse audience that comes into these forums from rock, hip hop, Latin music. So I just want people to know, I mean, you're a big time battle champion. You've battled and done your thing, man. Talk to me a little about this process and what you're going to kind of, how you started a little bit to where you are today. And let me shout out to Greg Keller. For also hooking us up, and
LaBelle, Greg Keller.
LaBelle, man. LaBelle was posting shit earlier. LaBelle, Steve LaBelle. So,
yeah,
friends of the family. Thanks for having these guys for hooking up. Everybody should definitely follow these guys as well. But back up a little bit, I'm sorry, and talk a little bit about your history, kind of where you were and how you came to where you're at today.
I mean, well, you know, like the rapping part came along a little funny. You know, I mean, I was in North ripping and running the streets and stuff like that. I had got jammed up in troubles, you know what I mean? You know, in and out of the jail shit. And it was like, you know, I had a talent. And a lot of us, not just me, but a lot of us really like kind of like look over our blessings and step around our blessings and step around these talents and step around these God-given things that we have and that we could, you know what I mean, use to better ourselves and better the people around us. You know what I mean? And I was just going through a lot of repetitive mistakes that I shouldn't be going through, you know what I mean, as a man, as somebody growing, as a young up-and-coming adult, you know, and just in and out of jail. You know, you get to a point where it's like, I'm either going to try this and try to do the right thing. You know what I mean? The least I could do is try to do the right thing before I say it didn't work, you know what I mean, as opposed to not doing it at all and just doing the fuck shit, you know what I mean? So just a lot of running into the walls, like running into brick walls, and you get tired of it. You know, and after one of them jail bids, I just said I was going to go home and I was going to go real hard. You know what I mean? And I got into the battle rap, you know, and it took off. It hit YouTube and it got a little extra crazy. We standing here today, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. So there's definitely a different vibe and a different energy. And as an artist, what gets you more juiced up? And probably it's not a fair question to ask you. Going to a small venue and a whole thing and battling like that head to head with somebody, or actually going up on stage and performing and doing your stuff. What gets you juiced?
I'm not gonna lie. Like if somebody was to see, like if somebody, you know, people can attest that people out here that have been to battle rap events, but somebody that's been to a battle rap event, like those events are like second to none. You know what I mean? Them battle rap events, you know, you might get 1,000 people, 1,500, 2,000. Sometimes it's even smaller than that. But those battle events be second to none. You know, you get the crowd roaring, two people arguing each other face, things like that. Like, you can't really beat that, you know. And it's a thin line because, you know, going out to Boston or Connecticut or Seattle, one of these spots, and, like, everybody know your shit in there, you know what I mean, in one of these clubs, these events. It's dope, too, but I don't know. Battle rap might have everything beat when it comes to that energy inside a room when it's like, nah. I think even a person that doesn't like battle rap can go to a battle rap event and fall in love, honestly.
Yeah. Do you, because I know I'm an only child and I think the world revolves around me, so when shit doesn't go my way,
yeah,
I start to get angry. When people start doing your whole thing, they start getting personal in the battle rap. Do you get fired up? Like,
nah, that's not. See, I'm an only child too. That's the funny thing. But I'm like, I come from a place where it's like, we don't get much. We don't got much. You know what I mean? And I've heard the worst. I've seen the worst. I've been through, you know, because at the end of the day, battle rap is just that. It's entertainment. It's rap. You know, and I've been some places where it's been so dark, it's been so cold, it's been so painful. It's like, it's nothing nobody could say to me. No way nobody could make me feel. And then you throw the fact that I'm getting $20,000 of battle rap, you know what I mean, per battle on top of it. It's not really anything you could say to me that will make me feel some type of way or stress me out, you know. So I'm just here to do my job, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But when you started, you weren't getting money.
When we first, like, you talk about 10, 11 years ago. When we first started, you know, you got 10, 15 Jersey heads, 10, 15 St. Louis, Detroit, New York, you know, all in these spots. It was dangerous. You know, I mean, $10 to get in, little hole in the wall spot. It was super dangerous, you know. But that's when it was just the hunger. It was just like, I wanted to pull up and represent for Jersey. I just want to show y'all that we're better than, or we could be better than, you know. And I feel like we got that point across.
See, it's a brave new world out there right now that's different. So when you started 10 or 11, 12 years ago and you're doing these battles and you're perfecting your craft and you're building an audience, now you don't see that as much, right? It's someone's putting their shit on TikTok and they're putting it on YouTube and then their thing's coming up. And
it don't seem like the same type of grind, I'm not going to lie, as far as 12 years ago. I think you kind of got to tip your hat off and make a kudos to America for giving us these different type of tools that make branding yourself, marketing yourself, promoting yourself faster, easier, and better. But at the same time, it still takes away. It almost like spoon feeds and takes away from a lot of these artists when it comes to the groundwork of not being able to just go and spam 500 people with your music, you know what I mean? Or get on Instagram and just be halfway across the world with a click, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pros and cons to this shit, you know?
So I'm not going to lie. Even with me, I always tell everybody in my business, life was actually as great as Instagram is, and we're able to do this stuff and Facebook and social media. I thought life was easier without it. And it was about, you know, you take your craft, you do your thing, people go out and market it, you go do your shows, and it was different. This whole world that we're living in now, there's an instant gratification, and then also and the audiences, the end consumer's ear to this music, right? They'll, you know, gone is the day where they're buying an album, they're listening to one track, they're moving on to the next thing.
It's the microwave era.
Yeah, man.
It's like the tools that we are using to make things easier, you know, like to upload your shit yourself and make clothes faster and cut out middlemen and stuff. I just think it's building this instant gratification in people that they think that, you know what I mean, it's just knocking off the hustle. You know, it's like people think that now I just make an Instagram and I'm supposed to have followers, or I just make some t-shirts and people are supposed to buy them. And, you know, because Instagram is putting everything in your face. So you see hundreds of people selling shirts and hundreds of people rapping and hundreds of people doing things that you would want to do or want to try. But Instagram only shows you like the Easy Mac version of it, you know, like 40 seconds and it's done. It doesn't show you the manufacturing, the building, the time, the thought process, you know. So it's definitely slowing down the generation and I think and the hungriness, the will, you know what I mean, to the want to have, you know. Everybody feels like they're supposed to have now in this generation. Oh, it's just like you look up, you could go on the gram and you see everybody with stacks of money and everybody with nice bags and nice clothes, and you just feel as though that you're supposed to have, but it's a trick though.
You're like, what? It's like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I'm seeing all this shit. People are like, wow, this guy, this person, this girl, what am I doing wrong that I don't have that? You know, and it's unfair actually for people to think that, dude,
it's a trick with it though, because what they do is they cycle us around our likes and our wants. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you like all those rappers that you listen to, you're going to like their pictures. All the cars that you like, you're going to like their pictures. All the girls that you like, you're going to like their pictures. You know what I mean? And then they make an algorithm off of that. And now if you go to your Explore page, all you see is the cars that you want, the money that you're supposed to have, the girls that you're supposed to have, the things that you want to have, because they make the algorithms around your wants. I mean, your needs. Like not your needs, but your wants.
Yeah.
I mean, so you get caught up in a cycle. You know, you stop liking a regular girl's picture. You stop thinking about the 2020 Nissan because you see somebody with a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? You only like Lamborghinis. You only like the Ferraris. You only like, you know. But yeah, social media is definitely cutting out the hustle. You know what I mean? It's cutting out the hustle.
Dude, I have so many questions I want to ask you. So, and I feel like I talked to you for like an hour. But a couple things is, one, you're writing up. I saw something about writing a book.
Yes, I'm working on part two right now. I dropped House of Virginia 1, I think last October. It went number one in the country in urban fiction. I'm working on number two. The pre-order is out right now.
That's great. So everyone's got to, where do they find this? Because
it's in my bio. The pre-order link for House of Virginia 2 is in my bio right now. You can obviously purchase part one on Amazon, Kindle, and things like that.
What's the general premise on the whole book so people know exactly kind of what you're working on?
Without giving anything like too much, it's just a story, you know, it's a hood urban story about how the grass isn't green on the other side, you know, and I'm just like something like almost what we was talking about, you know, the glitz, the glamour, the life, the money. It's not always better over there, you mm-hmm. know, and I just put a couple people's lives together and it intertwines, you know what I mean, and things like that, and a lot of people's lives crash around one thing, you know, without giving out too much.
So everyone needs to check that out. Please, as I say, when we're in these sessions, sometimes everyone's hearing, but they forget. So at the end, I want you to kind of put something. I know you said go into your bio. Just put something there so people kind of go check it out.
Yeah.
You were rocking Cult before we kind of connected with everybody.
Yeah, that's so, man, y'all got the best jeans ever.
Tell me about how did you get introduced to Cult? I'm going to ask you, are you wearing Cult? I'm going to call you out. If you're not wearing Cult right now, we're going to have a problem.
No, I'm not. You can call me out. I just got on some sweats. I'm just getting up. I was tired, man. I'm just getting up. I woke up for you.
Really?
Nah, hell yeah.
Wait, you're in Jersey.
I ain't get out the studio until about 12:30, 1 p.m. You know what I mean?
So you're still grinding.
Yeah, of course. You know what I mean? Of course. Like, this doesn't change anything. You know what I mean? I think it should have enhanced, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. work ethic. But, it's a couple stores in my home city, you know, downtown North, that always had Cult, always had a bunch of Cult, from the jean jackets to the shirts to the jeans. And I've been rocking a Cult, you know, and at the time, Greg Keller, shout out to Greg, amazing manager, you know what I mean, amazing businessman, Steve Lobel. Mm-hmm. I was working with Greg at the time, and you know, he said he wanted to introduce me to Ron. And I'm like, well, from where? He's like, Cult. I'm like, Cult what? Like, Cult of individuality? I'm like, oh, let's get up there. We need a couple capsules. Yeah, we need a couple capsules. Now, I love the brand. I love the brand. Like, more than a little bit.
Thank you so much, man. It's to hear, listen, always, it's great when I'm talking with artists and whatnot. If people will come in and we get introduced through mutual friends. And I think that's the best part. It's I put in my shit, always creating, always connecting, yeah. And to have mutual respect in people in the industry, whether it's music or clothing, connecting all of us, and to hear stories about people like, man, I've been rocking that shit for a while. I didn't know. And then it was like, yo, that long hair white guy's a shit? The guy behind Cole, I'll hear that shit all the time. Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's really crazy to me. I'm not going to lie. It's definitely crazy. It's definitely crazy. To see that you with the creators, like, oh, wow. Nah,
but that's the beauty of honestly of our brand, yeah. Is that honestly and thank you for everybody that supports the brand, from the retailers, the end consumers, the artists, that is there's no borders, there's no boundaries, there's no stereotypes. We're a brand that's for everyone, for every music genre, for every culture. And I think that's been one of our secret remedies to success, that we've been able to break down the borders for yeah. what we do and to bring it all together. And I'm happy to do it. And I'm so happy you're rocking the shit. And obviously I got to get you some sweats because I hate seeing what you're wearing right now. I'm not going to fucking lie.
Yeah. I need some sweats. Yeah. I got to get you
some new stuff. Yeah. And it just caused me. I said, I'm not going to curse anymore on this. And I curse already. So I'm looking at you wearing those sweats. And I'm like,
yeah, look, right on those Philadelphia. That's a coat. I can have some Cult right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I gotta get you a little something something to you. Dude, much respect for you. Not only an amazing artist, but as I always tell everybody, the people that I'd like to associate with what we do as a Cult family yeah. are not only talented, but just good people.
Yeah,
you're a great dude. And again, Greg Keller, Steve LaBelle, amazing people as well.
Amazing. So, shout out Steve. I'll put in the comments.
Yeah, we are who we surround ourselves with, always, right? And we always want to be around good people, and definitely do. You are as well. And I wish you all the best. And I'm definitely going to hook you up, because I don't take that sweatshirt off when we're done. And I'm going to get you some new shit, dude.
Yeah,
and
I got you, Ron. I appreciate you so much.
All right, man. Listen, be well. Stay strong.
All the time.
And we'll definitely talk, dude, when this is all done.
If you need me, hit me.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Love.
Later. He better get his book there that he did. He's coming out with version 2. Always with the brand. Always want to be. LaBelle, what's up, Steve? I see you're in here, man. Thank you so much. The introduction. This guy, Steve LaBelle, is Steve LaBelle. Search him. Find him on Instagram. He works with all the top-tier artists. He's in this culture, the hip-hop, the music world. An amazing person. Greg Keller, his partner, working with different things as well. Please check these guys out. It's the Cult Family. We're here tonight. We're here to build this community and help each other through this tough time. So I got another. Oh, wait. Let me. Yes. There we go. Send dog coming in. Yo.
What's up, brother?
Oh, the quarantine beard is going strong.
It is in effect, man. I got nowhere to go, so I'm letting the beard grow, man.
Oh, shit. How you been, man?
I've been blessed, man. We've been good out here in our area. You know, the family's well. You know, just staying, for the most part, you know, except for going to the supermarket and whatnot, just been at the house and stuff. So everything's good. I feel creative. And, you know, writing away back there up in the man cave and getting some kind of production done out of this quarantine business, you know?
I always like to let everybody know exactly who we're talking. So because we've such a diverse music community that's coming into our forums, Sendog is from the legendary Cypress Hill, legendary. And also is doing another project with another band, Powerflow, with Billy Biohazard, which is also a friend of the family, and I love. So I just want everybody to kind of know who we're talking with and what's going on. Dude, you've been a cultural icon in the music industry for so long.
Thank you, brother.
Talk to me. I mean, we talked a little bit. We're in Vegas. We're talking about the music industry and the business. And I mean, I know you guys were working on a new album with Cypress Hill, right?
Yeah, we have one in the can already. And we have a new record to go. It was supposed to go in 2020. At this point, we might push it back till, you know, later to 21, because, you know, why put out a record you can't promote, I guess. But yeah, we're still in the game. And you know, we still find ourselves in a creative point, especially at what I do, you know, with the heavy metal music and the rock and roll guys. I feel great. I feel young. I feel youthful, and I feel like I'm still evolving as an artist, if you can believe that or not, at 30 years later. But I look forward to the challenge still, man. I look forward to being creative and different, and catching somebody's ear. And if, whether that be, you know, 500,000 or a million people, it doesn't matter. You know, let's go out there and just be different and show that, you know, these 90s guys still can pack a punch. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, man, I'm a 90s guy. So I think that's why we click so much.
Yeah.
We were together in Vegas back. I mean, what month are we in now? We're in May. So we were back in February hanging out at the bar, shooting the shit, and we were just talk a little bit about the evolution of music in general, right? Because we were debating hip hop from the 90s and the 80s to where it is now. And again, what I like about, again, for me, I love with Cypress Hill, just the influx of, you know, with the guitars and the band and the whole thing, yeah, and the artistry and creating the record. you know, this it's different now. It's different now, and people might consider us older dogs because you and I are the same age and whatnot, but there's an evolution. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, way it was and way it is now, and I think the only way we all survive is how we evolve.
Yeah, you know, what today's hip hop is getting as far as criticism and whatnot, I feel like we were those same dudes in the early 90s. With our wave of hip hop coming in, the 80s finishing, the 90s coming in, and people were like, huh, what the hell is that? And why does he sound like that? And what's that nasal stuff? And you know what I mean? And I feel like these kids now are going through the same thing that we went through in the early 90s with the kind of like the changing of the guard, if you will, you know? And I understand that, you know, to be the case. So when I listen to When I listen to anything that has to do with like newer styles of hip hop, I keep that in mind. Like I keep that in mind that that's not my generation, and maybe you know I'm not supposed to understand it the way that we were not understood, you know, because it was this, like I said, the changing of the guard, musical styles, different productions and whatnot. I think overall you have to look at like you know, who's carrying that torch still, man. Like who's out there? You know, well, right now no one's out there, but I mean, like, who carries that hip hop, you know, that love and passion for hip hop and displays it all the time? As far as like music changing and evolving, that's always gonna happen, man. You know, always, you know, like we're not the first dudes to rap, neither were the dudes in the 80s or the 70s. It was the dudes in the 40s, the bebop musicians and the guys that had to smile through every song and stuff, you know, those guys invented rap. You know, and through those times, you know, through different eras and decades, we come to different musical styles. And right now, I do believe that hip hop is one of the main musics, you know, in the marketplace around the world, probably the number one music. So no matter what, where these kids are taking it. And I mean, like, in a good way, like, you know, like the Nicki Minaj's and stuff like that, that really like catapult hip hop to another level, and like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. She could rhyme, and you know what I mean, stuff like that. And I gotta take my hats off to them. I gotta give them props because they're carrying the game into the future, you know. And every 10 years or so, it's gonna maybe even less now. Maybe even 5 years or so, or 2.5 years, it's gonna be that changing of the guard, and the new style's gonna come out, and the young kids are gonna love it, and the rest of us are gonna be like, oh, why? What the hell? You know.
You say that, and I have to give you guys kudos, too, because I have to go back to what you guys have done and accomplished. There's music that comes out, and there's things that chase the times and chase the trends and whatnot. And then there's music that stands the test of time.
Yeah.
That is decade after decade after decade. You put that on, it's iconic. You guys have iconic songs that stand the test of time. And I also think that in this modern era, you know, sometimes, and if I'm offending anybody, it's okay. I'm an only child. I've learned that I've offended a lot of people. But a lot of the newer music doesn't necessarily have that, those roots and that oomph. There's something about it that just resonates that it's not here. It's not for the, I love it right now. And then, you know what, some other shit's going to come out later. You guys have a sound that you love today, and the younger generation comes and they like it and they respect it and appreciate it. And that's hard.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. And, you know, listen, you and I sat there and we talked about, because we're debating about, you were like, we have a bunch of singles. Should we release a single now? Because that's, you know, the now movement is like, let me just put a single out. Or do we wait for our old school mentality, which is me, let me have a whole fucking album. I want to listen to the whole fucking album.
Yeah.
And listen to it. So.
Yeah. Well, I tend to side with you on that one. I like the full album.
Yeah. I know.
Well.
I know. So, yeah. You know, we start. Oh, see, look, hold on. Put it up. Crank that shit up.
There it is. Got a lot of flights out of that song.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Timeless.
And you know, not many timeless people know, but Insane in the Brain was not supposed to be like a major hit. We never wrote it, and we the band intended that to be like an album track, just like an album filler. And we turned the album into Sony, and they're like, okay, well, this is your lead song right here for the record. And we're like, that insane song? And they're like, yeah, that one. And we're like, dude, that's just we got better songs than that. And they're like, dude, you guys let us pick the songs. You guys write them, we pick them. That's how that works.
You know what I've learned, and I know you've learned, right? I'll design shit, and I think it's the greatest shit out there. And then the shit that the stores buy is completely different than what I, you know, the stuff that I thought was going to be great. So, I guess there's always somebody smarter, and I guess... Oh, wait a minute. What are you wearing right there? What do you got?
You know how to represent.
Oh, shit.
I had to come correct now. You know that.
Oh, shit.
You know that, and I just...
So but we, you know, we always got to kind of defer to people that know a little bit, I guess, more than us, which is hard for me because I'm a control freak, egomaniac. So
yeah, you know, when you said the thing about an iconic band and stuff like that, and music that has the test of time and whatnot, it feels good that we hit the conscience of the society that deep that you know what you can basically put in the name Cypress Hill. At the same time, when you talk about WA or J or anything like that, you could totally like we could be part of that conversation. And I think that's the part that I find the most beautiful about our, you know, so far almost 30-year run that we've had in the game,
which is crazy and legendary.
And we've done some things, man. We've been on the road with Kiss and Slipknot and. You know, we've been on Monsters of Rock tour, Brazil and stuff like that. The only hip hop band on there, and you know, we've been blessed to open up for Metallica a few times, and be on the same bill with those guys, and you know, and I couldn't have imagined like anything like that happening, and that's all due to the fans and the loyalty, and they're the ones that choose who's gonna be an iconic act that they're gonna love forever, you know, and. That has nothing to do with all we could do is put in the hard work, and they say, you know, you guys are worthy, and that's the most beautiful thing that I think that we've achieved with the Cypress Hill, and the fact that we came, you know, from nothing and turned it into something, and we're still around, and you know, raising families and whatnot behind, you know, rap music, as crazy as that sounds. When we started, that was an absurd thought, you know, And I think, you know, the fans chose us and I honor them, and we honor them by, you know, still recording and coming back and touring and you know, giving them the Cypress Hill experience and having them become one with the band at the concert at the same time. It's all part of the same game, and I think that's why the fans have endured us and loved us like they have and showed their support for so many years for Cypress, because, you know, they know, you know, we're just like them, and we're the same stoner kids that they are. Grew up the same way, and they give us that respect, and we give it back by continuing to, you know, rock. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna tell you this, and you know, when I talk about this with the clothing game, and I think it really pertains to the music industry as well. When things get tough, right? The economy gets tough, money's tight, different things. People start to go cocoon, and they start to go back to what I call the comfort foods. And it might be the clothing brands that they're very comfortable with, that have been with them through the times, and the music that they're comfortable with, that kind of bring them back to the times when they were whatever made them feel good. They were growing up. There's reminiscent memories, and that's why I think right now with this particular time that we're going through for yourself and also for my brand, that you know there's an opportunity, and I really want you guys to release your album because. It'll be, for a lot of people, comfort food, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it'll be, wow, it's been a while since they've released something new. It reminds me of the good times. I love it. I know the sound's going to be fucking good. So they want to feel good. Right now is the time they want to feel good. And I think you guys releasing your album soon, hopefully, will bring that comfort food to people to be like, fuck yeah. It's reminiscent to when I felt good and when things were a little bit different. So... I'm putting pressure on you.
I know you are, man. That's a lot sooner, of pressure, too.
The sooner like, than later. So yeah, you feel that pressure hit in the back of your head. Because
migraines, man.
Sooner than later to bring something out, a little teaser to be like, hey, we're still here. we're still part of what you guys are doing. Here's a little something. Here's a little teaser. Here's one song. We'll be back in 2021. So I'm putting pressure on you to release something
right
before
on.
2021 for the fans, because we love your music. Yeah.
That might happen. You never know. With Cypress, we're always full of surprises. So that might go down at some point.
One thing I always ask every artist, tell me the one thing, because I got to ask this. What's the one thing that you like about Cult of Individuality? Because, man, listen, so everybody knows, I've run into this dude. I go out to California. I'm friends with Jose Mangan and Octane, and he does this whole tribute to Pantera called Dime Bash, and he does it at his studio, and there's fucking Send Dog there. And Send's like, I don't even know why I'm here. I shouldn't even be here. And you should be there, dude, because you're a fucking rocker. But I walk in and the motherfucker's wearing Cult right then and there, and I got to check the back pocket. What is it you like about Cult? Sorry, I'm cursing again. Sorry, everybody, I'm cursing. What is it you like about Cult?
About Cult, I think it's just the expression of freedom that the style has, like the artisticness to it, the differentness of it. It's a different look. It's a different feel. It's a comfy feel. It's not an uptight, uncomfortable thing. And I think most of all, I like the revolutionary part of the feel free to express yourself part and be part of this cult. And from the first day I rocked your pants on, I was like, oh man, I'm gonna wear these on stage every night. These are perfect. You know, cause as a guy on stage, I've always had that problem of, unless I was wearing like something like cut off shorts, you know, I didn't real feel comfortable with the pants that I had on stage. And that gave me the ability to move around. Those pants did, to move around and, you know, almost just at will, kind of not feel like I was, you know, my pants were soggy and wet and they were making me, they were bogging me down type of thing. And I like the elasticity and the breathability of them. And it's almost if you look at it like an if you were like an athlete, you know, something that when you look good in what you're wearing, you're going to perform good. You're going to play good. And I feel that way in Cult of Individuality, you know, gear, man. You know what I mean? I feel like I look good and I'm getting down, you know, because I look good.
Well, thank you, dude. That was fucking, that wasn't even prep, and that shit was perfect.
Right on, man.
Let me ask you, because Norman Reedus is a friend too. And I know you've done some shit on Norman. I actually have a 79 shovel head that's being customized. I showed you out in Vegas.
Yeah.
My guy's like, it's just about done. I'm going to probably have him on and talk a little bit about that as well. But I know you're a big motorcycle rider. You did some stuff with Norman Reedus. Talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, I got to ride back in the 90s, around 93, 94. I bought my first sports bike, a CBR 600. And I knew nothing about motorcycles. I had to call one of my friends to come to the shop and drive it home for me, because I didn't even know how to ride. I just had an interest in bikes. And then from there on, I went to like a Katana and a GSXR. And then I was like, you know what? Those Harley Davidsons just look really, really comfy. You know, they look really cool. And you're not bent over, you know, hell bent for, you know, going fast. So I got into the Harleys. And then that led me, I got with the Indian Motorcycle Company, who currently sponsors me now. Yeah. And I'm really stoked to have this deal going on with them, because, you know, it's a prestigious bike. It's a prestigious company. And it's really cool.
Big, wide body, too.
Wide body, you know, full power, six-stroke bike, you know.
You just got a new bike from them when we were in Vegas, right? Weren't you picking something up, too?
Yeah, I got the latest Chieftain Dark Horse. It's a rad bike, and I really like it a lot. And that led, you know, buying bikes and being involved and me and all my friends being bike motorcycle nerds and geeks, you know. And one day they were like, dude, we should start like our own little clique and you know, we'll be the hillbillies and blah blah blah. And I'm like, you know, the more they talk about it, the better it sounded. So we put a little patch together, you know, and Norman called us up eventually one day and wanted us to be on a show. And I was like, yeah, I'll do the TV show. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. Uh-huh. Till we met and then I saw some episodes, and the thing I like about being in a bike club is it's almost like being in a rock and roll band, like a heavy metal band, like, you know what I mean? It's us and people love us or people hate us, and you know, that's the almost the the gauntlet you run when you're in a band, you know what I mean? And and it kind of feels like the same thing, except we're on these bikes and we use the road to be creative and go places and be seen. And it's a wonderful feeling, and it's a great lifestyle. And you know, if people, anybody wondering about getting a motorcycle, do it.
Do it.
Get out there and do it, man, you know. I totally
tell my wife that. She wants me to keep mine in the fucking office.
In the office as a something to gaze upon.
Yeah. Dude, I'm listening to you talk. And I'm listening to music, and my head can't. My head can't fucking stop bobbing with listening.
Right on, man. That's what we do. That's what we do it for, brother. That's what we do it for.
Listen. I love you. I don't know if your boy Jesse's in here. Jesse, what's up? If you're in here, if not, love that guy too. Listen, man. Yeah. I'm hoping, and I know Be Real wants to release a song earlier. I hope you get something in 2020.
Yeah,
before 2021, give us one fucking song, and then come out with the whole album in 2021, and then go out and tour that shit. God willing, we can do that.
We may have to do that, man. You know what I mean? Now that I hear your side of the situation,
I'm kind of vibing with that. Good.
I kind of vibing with that. You know,
help people feel good. This is it right now. This is what we need. We need to be inspired. We need to feel good. We need something that's reminiscent to the good times. Too, you guys do that. Your sound's incredible. We also listen. I'm gonna let you know. We're working something on our end to change this format. So this, we might be coming close to the end of this digital sessions, but we got something else in the works. But I'm gonna reach out to you because I think you're gonna like it, and it might be something you might want to be a part of.
All right, so, cool, man. Hey, you know I'm down. I'm down, dude.
I'll definitely hit you up because I think you're gonna be into it, dude.
Cool deal, man.
Listen, I appreciate it. Be well. Hopefully I catch you guys in August in Vegas. God willing, I'm back out there for the trade show. It might be September, but I'll definitely catch up with you guys and we'll do some shit, man. You owe me a Mexican dinner. I want to go to a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, dude, I got you. As soon as you come out here, I got you. I got the spot.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
All right. Be well. Peace, brother.
Later, man.
Yeah.
Quay, dude, hold on a second. And Devour today, Joe Chicago, you in here right now? Yo, man, what's up? I gotta get you in here as well. Jack Quay, thanks for jumping in here. We got a few minutes left. My fucking phone, everyone keeps texting me. I always ask, I try to put on this do not disturb shit. It doesn't work because the text keeps coming through and flashing on my phone. But this is a great session, man. I love talking to everybody. Blue Diamond, Sue Surf, Send Dog, amazing artists. We got an amazing show that's going to happen tomorrow night again after dark. So we have, I'm not even going to say who it is. You guys need to go to the social media, go to our Instagram and check it out. But you're going to see tomorrow at 9 p.m. It's a little teaser. I'm going to make you go work and see who it is. Everybody's coming on. 9 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern time. We got Cult After Dark. Or after hours, whatever the name we're going to change it as. But we got a DJ and an artist going to perform for you guys tomorrow night. Then we got another session on Thursday as well with three more musicians coming on and chatting with us. Make sure you guys are hitting the website. Again, sessions 30, the code's pinned down at the bottom. Use that discount code. Please, 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 let's support the artists that are coming on. We're in tough times right now. These artists are locked at home. They make their money going out touring. Please go to their websites. Please go to the iTunes, Spotify, download a song, screenshot it. I do that not because I need you guys. I want to support these artists. Screenshot it, DM us, send us a message, use the discount code and $1,000 shopping spree next week. Let me see. There's somebody here. I was going to try to bring somebody else in, but I got a minute left, so. Listen, thank you everybody for tuning in with us. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern time for Cult After Hours, the two amazing artists doing their thing. And we appreciate your support.